The World This Week, news and analysis. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. This past week, the Canadians held what turned out to be an election surprise, and the ceasefire on Israel's borders remained an uneasy one. But this week, developments in Washington demanded and received major attention in the world as well as here at home. On Monday, historic arguments were made before the highest court of the land, basically on whether a president can ignore a court order to turn over evidence subpoenaed by a special prosecutor. The special prosecutor, Leon Jaworski, argued that he cannot. The president's chief counsel, James Sinclair, argued that he can, and in the process suggested that the court was intruding on the constitutional prerogative of the House to decide impeachment matters. This, too, the court will have to decide. After the arguments, Sinclair expressed his confidence.
I thought they went quite satisfactory. I think our opponents did quite well, and I hope we acquitted ourselves with some confidence anyway.
Sinclair has contended that Special Prosecutor Jaworski is, in effect, only a conduit for information to the House Judiciary Committee. Jaworski was asked about that.
Do you have some intention of immediately turning this material over to the House Judiciary Committee if you receive it?
Well, of course not. You naturally have to be reviewed by Judge Sirica first, and it takes a period of time to do it.
You want this for you, or you want it for the House Judiciary Committee?
I want it for the trial of the case.
On Friday, a district court jury in Washington returned its verdict and found former presidential aide John Ehrlichman guilty of having authorized the plumber's break-in at the office of Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist. Three of the plumbers, Gordon Liddy, Bernard Barker, and Eugenio Martinez, were also found guilty. Ehrlichman promptly announced his intention to appeal.
We've been concerned from the very beginning about our ability to secure a fair trial in this district, and certainly one of the grounds of our appeal will go to that question. It was also a matter of concern to us that a great deal of the substance in the background of this entire case was excluded from the evidence by rulings of the court. And obviously, that will be another question to be raised on appeal in this matter.
Saturday, the Senate Watergate Committee released a voluminous 2,200-page report on its 17 months of investigation. The report makes no new charges, but leaves a clear implication of wrongdoing in many high places. The committee expressed concern that those in high places would flaunt the laws of the land and act on the principle that the end justifies the means. And it recommended several legislative reforms to prevent a repetition in the future. Committee Chairman Sam Ervin expressed relief that the report is finally in.
I feel almost like a school is out, like I used to feel like when June came and I could take off my shoes and throw them away for the summer and not be bothered with the teachers for 3 months.
President Nixon this week flew to San Clemente for the start of a two-week vacation. During the week, the president conferred with Vice President Ford several times and met with him once again in San Clemente yesterday to talk about the economy and other matters. After the conference, Vice President Ford gave his view of the impeachment proceedings.
In my judgment, there is the possibility that the House committee will vote a resolution of impeachment. But I feel just as strongly, if not more strongly, that the House as a whole will not favor a resolution of impeachment. And when you look at all the evidence, in my judgment, there just isn't the evidence to involve the president.
A follow-up to President Nixon's visit to the Middle East, Treasury Secretary Simon this week left with a 40-man delegation on a visit to Cairo and three other Arab countries to talk about oil for one thing, but long-range economic development for another.
It would be foolish for me to suggest that the subject of oil and oil prices will not be a topic that will come up, but it is not a primary topic. Saudi Arabia is looking beyond their day of oil primacy when they wish to have an economy that's industrialized and diversified. And we can use our expertise, economic and financial, to assist them in the areas of agriculture and science and technology and manpower and labor and industrialization and diversification.
The Simon tour begins against a background of a continuing uncertainty along the borders of Israel. primarily involving the Palestinian guerrillas, their present actions, and future settlement. Bruno Wassertile brings us up to date.
The Palestinian problem took stage center on Israel's political scene this week, and local press reports even went so far as to say that the Jewish state would reverse its long-standing policy and recognize a Palestinian entity, at least politically, if not geographically. This means that Israel would recognize the Palestinians as a separate negotiating partner in working out an overall Arab-Israeli settlement. On Friday, this view appeared to be at least partially confirmed by Information Minister Aharon Yariv, who stated that Israel would negotiate with the Palestine Liberation Organization if the guerrilla group recognized the existence of the State of Israel and stopped all hostile activity against the Jewish state. But the very next day, Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin dispelled the idea that the government would recognize a Palestinian entity and said that at present the only apparent solution to the Palestinian problem lay in negotiations with Jordan. In any case, the Israeli cabinet will flesh out a detailed stand on the Palestinian question for Foreign Minister Yigal Alon to take to Washington, where he'll meet with Secretary of State Kissinger at the end of the month. Meanwhile, Arab leaders in the Israeli-occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip have received invitations to attend the Palestinian Congress in Beirut, a meeting that may be fateful in determining whether the Palestinians can agree to live side by side with a Jewish state. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
The Canadians, who had elected a minority government only a couple of months ago, went to the polls Tuesday with all indications they would do the same thing again. They surprised even themselves by giving Pierre Trudeau's Liberal Party a substantial majority in Parliament and thus a firm mandate to govern for 5 years. Trudeau expressed determination to do just that.
We have, I hope, a few years of parliamentary stability before us. We have the people, we have the resources, we have the vitality and the confidence to do a very great job. I just want to say that I'm very anxious to get on with the job.
As the week began with a new challenge for the Supreme Court, it ended with tribute to the man who, in 16 years as Chief Justice, did much to move the court into center stage of the controversies of real life in the 50s and 60s. Chief Justice Earl Warren, dead at 83. Correspondent Fred Graham reflects on what came to be known as the Warren Court.
Earl Warren's impact on American constitutional law is often characterized as that of judicial activism. He and the Warren Court were not timid about changing the law through court decisions. There was a clear thread running through all of this, the principle of equality. On the day he announced his resignation, Warren was asked which decisions he considered the most important. He picked three egalitarian landmarks: Brown versus Board of Education, the school desegregation ruling, Reynolds versus Sims, the one-man, one-vote decision, and Gideon versus Wainwright, free counsel for poor defendants. One manifestation of this drive for equality was Earl Warren's preoccupation with the rights of the underdog in criminal cases. The Warren Court handed down so many rulings strengthening the rights of criminal defendants that a political backlash set in with Richard Nixon in the forefront. But later, after President Nixon's appointments created a law and order majority on the Supreme Court, not one of those Warren Court decisions was overturned, although the Burger Court refused to extend several of them. On a personal level, it was difficult to be an observer of the court, as I was as a reporter there, without a constant awareness of the greatness of Earl Warren as a man and as a jurist. The abiding memory of most who sat in the court in those days was Earl Warren's manner of leaning forward and asking as if the whole world depended on it, "But were you fair?" Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
The World This Week has been produced by Dale Miner. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News.